enjoy the day and the time and tonight. I am one of those that likes history. I enjoy seeing the things of the past and enjoyed what I've been seeing with all of this. And it's good to know where you came from. It's good to know what the past has been, so it can help you focus on a bigger, brighter future and moving ahead with all of that. And I certainly, as a pastor for over 20 years, can know where Brother Ramirez is coming from and what he has said tonight, and how your heart's desires to see more, see things go forward. And how do we accomplish that? How do we do that? Well, I believe that from the Word of God, part of that is accomplished by holding fast to what God's given. And that's what I want to speak to you tonight concerning is this idea, this thought of hold fast. If you would turn to 2 Timothy with me, if you will, and a couple of passages from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and from chapter 2 we want to look at this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verses 13 and 14, and then we'll look down in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see, of course, and understand and know that it's from the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor and preacher by the name of Timothy, and he's doing so to encourage him and direct him. Throughout the centuries, God's work has been done by men and women who have stood steadfast in their hour of trial. And that's exactly what Paul was encouraging here. To hold fast, to stand strong, to stand true. It would have been convenient through the years, through these past 90 years. I'm sure there were lots of times when it would have been convenient to have compromised, to have given in. But no, the people of this church have stood firm, and Christians throughout centuries have stood firm. There are times when it would be easy today. It would be easy to compromise in order to appease someone who questions the strong yet scriptural doctrine, the scriptural doctrinal truth that sound churches stand for and preach. Hey, your pastor and I were talking about that today. We're living in a time and living in a world when people want God and they want the Bible and they want church on their terms. You know, the Bible says that God made man in his own image, and ever since then, man has tried to make God in his image. He's tried to redefine God, redefine the Word, redefine the Lord's churches and all down through. And there's times when, as it comes along, it would just be easy to appease people who question strong Bible truth. And there have been many people down through the years, I am sure, I am confident, because of looking at your past and seeing your present, I'm sure that there have been people down through the years that have chosen to leave and leave and go elsewhere, and more often than not, leave and go nowhere. Right? People a lot of times are just looking for a reason to leave, and they have no desire and no intention of going anywhere else. You know, I've always said when people have left our church that if they had really had something to stand on, really had something to grab a hold of, as for a reason of leaving because of something that was said or done, then they would go somewhere else and fervently serve God in another place. But more often than not, what you find is people that leave and go nowhere else. And rather, they would do this rather than to accept and submit to sound Bible doctrine. Nevertheless, we're charged to hold fast. Hold fast. Seven times in God's word we are told, we are challenged, yes, we are commanded to hold fast to some things, to hold strong, to hold secure. You know, we are currently engaged in war in our as a nation. And we're at full out war, folks. I don't know, you know, what they want to try to describe it as nowadays, but I mean, we're still at war in Iraq, even though we've kind of closed out that front. We're at war in Afghanistan. We're at war, and you know, there are many times when our troops, when our soldiers are told to hold fast. They take a position, they take a location, and they're told to hold fast. Hold that position, hold that place. Listen, as the children of God, and as this church, Central Baptist Church, you have come to this point in 90 years of ministry, God is saying to you, hold fast. Don't go back. Don't waver. Keep pressing forward. Hold this point on and move forward for me. Seven times we're commanded to hold fast, to hold secure to something. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we're told to hold fast that which is good. In 2 Timothy 1:13, we just read, hold fast the form of sound words. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, we're told to hold fast the confidence of the hope. Amen. Confidence of the hope. You know, the hope is not a wish. The hope is what is to come. And we have confidence in, as we just, my hope is built on nothing less than Christ, the solid rock. That's where we stand. And you know, we're to hold fast. In Hebrews 4:14, hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23, and you know, I'm glad that, by the way, I'm glad that Paul didn't say, hold fast your profession because you're the one that's in charge of keeping your salvation secure. Now, that's not what he's saying there. You know, God has got it. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. It's eternally secure, and we won't lose that. But he's just saying, hey, keep that profession. Keep that fire when you were first saved. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast the profession of your faith. In Revelation 2 and 25, hold fast till I come. And my, what a charge that is to us today as the Lord's people in the Lord's churches. Hold fast till I come. And then the last place in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. Tonight, 90 years of ministry, 90 years of faithfulness, not just your faithfulness to God, but more importantly, the celebration tonight is God's faithfulness to you for 90 years. This verse, Revelation 3:3, should ring in your ears, in all of our ears tonight. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. Sound Bible doctrine has been taught and preached and practiced and lived and over and over and over, not just year after year, but decade after decade after decade here in Little Rock, Arkansas, in Central Baptist Church. And by the way, I just tell you, I was thinking about this earlier, any time in my life that I have ever heard Little Rock, Arkansas mentioned, even when I was living as a boy in Dallas, Texas, and growing up as a young man, and moving to Colorado and Tennessee, and now back to Oklahoma, anytime Little Rock, Arkansas has ever been mentioned, the first thing that has come to my mind has always been Central Baptist Church. That's something to praise God for. That's a sign of a church that's made a mark. And you know, you know, when we hear, I don't know about you, but when I hear Jerusalem, one of the first things that pops in my mind is the Church of Jerusalem. I believe that's what Christ intended for his churches, wherever they were, that when people would hear that city, hear that town name mentioned, that people would think of the church that was there. And so for you to hold fast, remember what you have received and heard and hold fast to that. Keep it secure. Paul was a man willing to do just exactly what he was urging Timothy to do. Timothy was a young preacher and a pastor. He was leading a church which had many older Christian men and women in its membership. And sad to say, some of those members would, contrarily to God's word, would challenge Timothy's knowledge and experience and authority. And Paul was saying, Timothy, God's given you some things. Hold fast to that. He was telling this church as well, these churches that Timothy would be, he says, you need to pass this on. You see, this church not only was there a little bit of problem there, but notice that this church was also in a city that was very religious, but it was wrong in its religion. I think it would be safe to say today, living here in the Bible Belt, that Little Rock, Arkansas is a city that's very religious. I know just coming in on I-40 and from Conway down and hitting 430 and then coming on around and coming down through here, I saw countless numbers of congregations, buildings, and all that had the name of church on them. And so on. And I think it would be fair to say you're in a place of religion. I mean, there's a lot of religion here. The problem is, it's not right in many cases. You see, this was the problem with the church there. It was very religious. The town, the city was very religious, but it was wrong its religion. Ephesus was devoted to the worship of Diana, the goddess of sex. Her sensual images helped promote sexual immorality of all kinds. Satan had his workers in the city. And here's the thing, folks. Where there is spiritual opportunities, there is always satanic obstacles. So yes, you have faced obstacles, and you will continue to face obstacles. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't already know, and I think you already do, the obstacles are only going to get worse. It's going to be worse. It continues to wax worse. Paul wrote this letter, he wrote the first letter to Timothy. First Timothy was to encourage Timothy as a pastor and to explain how a local church should be managed, overseen. He wrote this second letter of Timothy to instruct Timothy as a child of God in his responsibility to sound doctrine no matter what. God would soon move Paul off the scene, and Timothy would need to continue to give spiritual leadership to the churches. Here was the thing that the Apostle Paul knew, that he was soon to pass off the scene, whether he would die of his illnesses, die of old age, or if Paul looked for the return of Jesus Christ as well, but he also knew that there was a good chance with all that he had been through that he might even be martyred, that he might even be put to death. And so regardless of what he was looking for, knowing that he was looking for the return of Christ, he knew he still had a responsibility to pass on the faith. And so he was encouraging Timothy, and he encourages Timothy to understand, hey, you're going to need to step up and fill in. The things that I'm doing now, the things that I've done, Timothy, you're going to have to step up and you're going to do that. It's going to fall to you to preach and to teach and to train. And so Timothy was a man who was timid. He suffered from physical ailments. He was tempted to let other people take advantage of him and not to assert his authority as a preacher of the gospel and pastor of the church. But Paul is saying, look, you've got to hold fast. You've got to keep on. God had given the deposit of spiritual truth to the Apostle Paul. Look in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 11. He says there to Paul, Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God had committed to Paul's trust the glorious gospel. And he in turn had given it to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He says, I'm passing this on to you. For 90 years, Central Baptist Church has passed from one generation to another generation sound Bible preaching, teaching, and doctrine. And it must be held on to. Paul was telling Timothy, now it's your solemn responsibility to hold fast and to keep this precious deposit of biblical truth and to commit it to others. So tonight I want us to look at this charge that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy and that I believe in turn has given to us today, and more specifically even to Central Baptist Church, as you look back on 90 years and begin the next years that God has for you together. First of all, notice the charge that Paul gives here in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast, verse 13 of chapter chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The word form here means a pattern, an architect's sketch. Now, beautiful facilities that you have here. God has certainly provided a wonderful building and all that you have to meet your needs to do that. Building supply didn't just back up here one day and dump a load of material off and this building was here. You know that. There was a plan. There was an architect's drawing. And as they brought the material, and the material was here on site, and they began to assemble it and put it together. And it wasn't just a matter of a bunch of guys running around saying, well, I think this board would look good here, and this piece of steel over here. And this, there was a plan, a format that was gone by, and it was done in order, and certain things had to be done first. I mean, the roof was not put on first. There had to be a foundation. And then the walls built up and all. And there was a plan, a pattern, an architect sketch. And there was a definite outline to follow to bring it in. Well, the same's true for us. There, Paul says here, there's a definite outline of doctrine. There was a definite outline of doctrine in the early churches, a standard by which teaching was tested. Why is this so important? Because in chapter 3 and verse 1 of this same book, Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. You know, if it's not built right and built solid and built strong to withstand the storms, then it's going to fall. It's going to crumble. It's going to cave in. I dare say that in 90 years of history, there have probably been some severe storms that have blown through Central Baptist Church. And had there not been the proper structure, the proper grounding, the proper teaching to hold this church together by the strength and help of God, that it would have fallen during that time. That's why this is so important. Perilous times will come. How will we know these perilous times? How will they be marked? Paul tells us in verse 5 that the people of these times will have a form of godliness, but denying the power of. So they're going to look good. It's going to seem like, well, it's all for the right reasons. But the problem is, he goes on to say in verse 7, that they are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are those who study the Bible with a mission to approve what they have decided is sound doctrine according to their fleshly desire of self-satisfaction, self-glorification, and self-edification. People want to take the Word of God And so they take a verse or a word out of context or give it another meaning other than the true meaning that the Word of God was intentionally meant for, and they do so in order to justify their error. And so Paul indicates to Timothy and to us that there is more to it than just studying. He says in chapter 2 and verse 15 that we are also to be rightly dividing the word of truth. The word dividing here means to make a straight cut, to dissect correctly. Isn't it great how God uses words? There's not a word in this book that's just randomly placed or idly placed. God knew what he was doing when he spoke it. God knew what he was doing when he gave it for men to write. He says, you know, it's not just enough to study. He says, you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. The best and most accurate commentary on the Bible is the Bible. It never contradicts itself, but it always explains and confirms its message. And we need to stand fast on the Word. We need to hold fast the Word of God. Today, Satan has seen that he can't destroy it by total obliteration. So the way that he is choosing to destroy the Word of God is by watering it down and diluting it through different translations. Redefining the word. But folks, we need to stick with the stuff. We need to hold fast. You see, the word of God gives us the plan of salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tells us, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Bible has never, ever taught us salvation in any other way but through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, the Old Testament saints looked ahead to what Christ would do on the cross, and their faith in that saved their soul. By faith, we look back to the cross of Calvary, and that faith in what Christ did for us there saves our soul. The Word of God gives us the pattern for how we are to live our lives for Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 tells us, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction." Amen? Oh, me. See, that's one of those words that they want to take out today. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me I'm sinning. Don't tell me what I need to do. Who does the church think they are in trying to exercise any authority over me? Huh? Isn't that where we are today? Let's do away with it. That's the idea, but you know, it's not what the Bible says. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes we need correction. It's also for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How do I live my life for God? By the Word. Look to the Word of God. The Word of God will instruct us, will teach us and show us how we need to live. It gives us the pattern for how we live our lives for Christ. And you know what else? The Word of God, not only does it give us salvation and how we live our lives, but it gives the proper format for church life. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 14 and 15 says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long," listen to this, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What? He's even going to tell us how we are to conduct our church life? Absolutely. Because after all, it's His church. You know, we call it our church, don't we? I've done that all my life. But you know, the fact of the matter is, I call it my church, you know, the church that I'm a part of, that I belong to, I call it my church because I belong to it. When in reality, it's the Lord's church. It's His. Notice what He says there, which is the church of the living God. God's alive today. It's the church of the living God. And we need to live like He's alive today. Not like we're worshiping some old relic or even worshiping the past. Hey, you know what this 90th anniversary celebration is not about? It's not about worshiping the past. It's about remembering the past. And worshiping the God who worked in the past, and the fact that that same God that worked in the past is the God who will work in the future. Now and in the future. He says the church of the living, and then I love this, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, the problem today is a lot of church members are reading that verse and they're misreading that word pillar. And they're reading pillow. Huh? The word is pillar, not pillow. Now, I know down here in the South, it can be easily messed up because we call them pillars. You know, I like a nice fluffy pillar to sleep on. But that's not what it is here. Even though I call the Apostle Paul the Southern Apostle, because he was always putting in y'alls in there, them you-alls and y'alls in his writings. But no, he's talking about a pillar. Pillows are for comfort, while pillars are for support. Many times we may not be comfortable with the truth, especially when the truth tells us that what we are saying or doing is wrong, but we should always support the truth and align ourselves with it. We should support it. We should be pillars. Now, you know, the truth not dependent upon us supporting it. The truth stands alone. But if we're going to make the truth real to the people in this world and the people in this community and the people outside these four walls, it's going to be because we stood as pillars and supported that. So we need to support the Word of God. Hold fast the Word of God. I encourage you, this church has such a rich history of that. Not just supporting it and holding fast to it, but teaching it through all that you've done through the years and putting out books and papers and all that God has used you to do here. Continue to hold fast to that. But you know, that's not all Paul tells Timothy here and that we get from his writings here. We also see that he tells us to keep that which was committed to you. Keep that which was... Notice verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He says, I want you to keep it. And I'm going to give you someone who will help you to keep it. The Holy Spirit of God. What is the Holy Spirit of God going to do? Well, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring to our remembrance those things that were taught to us and convict us when we go contrary to the Word of God. And He's going to remind us to stand fast and hold fast to these things. From the beginning of human history, Satan has opposed God's Word. You know, Satan was the first to give another translation of the Bible. Or of God's Word anyway. From the very beginning, Satan said, yea, hath God said. Remember? They're in the garden right off the bat. Yea, hath God said. That was Satan's first word to mankind. The first time Satan spoke to mankind, he was saying, hey, are you sure about the word of God? Are you sure that's what he said? And he continues to ask that question today. Yea, hath God said? Central Baptist Church, really, has God said that you need to hold fast to the truth and hold fast to sound doctrine and hold fast to that which was committed to you? God says yes. And listen, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. So anytime there's any confusion, it's not because God introduced it. It's because the devil's introduced it. The controversies and conflicts surrounding the Word of God today are not the work of God. Listen, they're the disruption of the devil. And you know what's sad is that so many people are buying into it. You know, the philosophy of today is, if you don't agree with the Bible, rewrite it. If it doesn't say exactly what you want it to say, giving validation to your heresy, reinterpret it. Why do you think the Catholics have their own Bible and Mary Baker Eddy wrote a Bible and all these other... Why do you think the Book of Mormon and their own version of the Bible... Why do you think all of these different... Because they had to rewrite it to justify what they were doing. And it continues today. Listen, you don't have to look very long or very hard out there. And when I say out there, I'm talking about up and down the main roads of Little Rock, Arkansas. You don't have to look very long or very hard out there to find some group or some organization that calls themselves a church that will condone just about anything you might want to do and feel good about it. You know, there are groups out there that call themselves churches that condone and, you know, having a little affair on the side every once in a while. Isn't that unbelievable? But it's true. I'm telling you, you can find it out there. Well, it's like God loves you just as... No, God may love us just as we are, but He wants to save us and change us and make us better. He may love us where we are, but He doesn't love what we are. He doesn't love, you know, and I mentioned last night, I mean, God loves homosexuals, but He hates homosexuality. But hey, let's bring it home. Make it a little more personal. Whatever sin it is in our lives, and I'll let you and God hash through that. God hates that sin as well. But He loves you. And so don't try to redefine or reinterpret the Bible. Don't go looking for something to condone what you're doing. Get in line with what the Word of God. You know, they're out there that people are fighting and doing what they want to do. This is how every religion or every so-called faith has begun since Christ established the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem back during His earthly ministry. That's where they've all come from. People doing their own thing. Throughout the history of the church as an institution, the Word of God has been attacked. And sad to say, it has been attacked often by those within. But yet, it still stands today. Why? Because it's the Word of God more than anything else. And it's not going. God's already said it's not going to pass away. But it has also stood because of dedicated people like Paul and Timothy who kept the deposits that was deposited within them and they have faithfully handed it on to a new generation of believers and who's handed on to another generation of believers who handed on to another generation of believers who handed it to a generation of believers back in the 1920s here in Little Rock, Arkansas who took it up and now they've continued to pass it on to generations after generation, and guess what? It falls to you now. to this generation that's sitting among you in your laps and in the nursery and around you that's got to be passed on. Hold fast. Hold fast to it. This brings us to the last of the charge, and that is this. Paul says to Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 2, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, he says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," those things that you've been given, those things that you've been taught, those things you've heard and seen, he says, "Those things the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." If you walk away with nothing else tonight, please get this. As those who have been given the deposit of the truth, it must not die with us. It also, listen, it also must not diminish with us. There is just as much, if not more, of a need and a responsibility to hold fast today as there has ever been. It must not diminish, and here's and get this, and it must not dilute with us. We must not dilute it. Say, but it's hard today. It's hard to stand fast for the truth. It's hard to preach sound Bible doctrine. I understand that. I understand that people will turn their back on because they can go just a couple of hundred yards down the road to another congregation, to another group down there. They can go down there and they can listen to somebody stand up and smile and grin and say, "Oh, this is your best life now. It's all okay. Good." Sin? What's sin? I'll tell you something. There have always been charlatans, and there always will be charlatans. But today, they're getting an audience greater than they've ever gotten before because people want to feel good about their lives and feel good about their sin and feel good about what little bit, the small portion that they want to give God. I was talking today, Brother Corey, and I said, "You know, I remember growing up, and I didn't grow up in a pastor's home or anything like that. We just church members." And I said, "But I remember growing up in my home, my family, and that there was never any question. All of our plans were planned around the schedule of our church. You know, whatever the church schedule was." Whether it was just a standard schedule of Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation night, or whatever. It was, but then when the special services came along, then we would replan the rest of our lives around that as well. You see, that our lives have always been centered around the church and God and everything in that regard. I said, but today, man, today people want you to schedule the church around their schedule. Okay? Try to do that with 10 people and you'll never do it. But think about trying to have that with 100 people. That's really impossible. That's not the way it works anyhow. We need to understand that we must not dilute the importance of God and His Word and His church. We've got to maintain that. And it's been said already, and I understand I'm preaching to the crowd because you're here on Saturday night. But that just means that there are more out there that we've got to teach this to, and we've got to show them and the importance of it. We must share the wonderful message of salvation by grace through faith. We need to tell the lost that Jesus saves and that when He saves, He changes us. The Word of God is complete. The Word of God is perfect. We don't need another word from God. And by the way, we're not going to get another word from God. He says, "This is it. The Word of God is the living Word. It's a word for the spiritual living and a word to be lived. So if we spend our time looking for something else, wishing for something else, or imagining something else, then the Word of God is going to be neglected. Everything you do as a church needs to focus on the Word of God. Praise God, as I was looking through the building this evening, Brother Ramirez was showing me around talking about having vacation Bible school. Vacation Bible school is not for entertainment. It's another opportunity to preach the Word of God. Having outreaches in the community, and you should have outreaches into the community to bring them in, whatever, and to get them. But it's not just to entertain them, but it's an opportunity to get the gospel out. Every year, the 4th of July, we had a huge fireworks display. But before the fireworks display, we'd have a meal, food, fellowship, and fireworks. But in between the food and the fireworks, the Word of God was shared. We had people in the community that would come because they knew they were going to see a spectacular fireworks display. It wasn't going to cost them a penny and get some good food. But you know what they got? They got the Word of God as well. You see, everything we do needs to focus on getting the gospel message out and then instilling it in people as we do. Here's the thing. We need to be a people that believe the Word of God by conviction and not convenience. We need to be passing on that same conviction to others who will do the same to the next generation. The word faithful, or pithos, or pythos, however you say it. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but that word means sure. It means true. Paul tells us to commit or to deposit the truth with those who are sure to keep it and who will be true to it. You know, it's a difficult thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. Some will not accept it, but some didn't accept Christ when he presented himself as the Word. But nonetheless, it's our responsibility to do it, to hold fast. Our charge as a church, your charge as a church tonight, folks, is not based on convenience, comfort, or compatibility. It is based on conviction in the uncompromising truth of thus saith the Lord. Child of God, we need to hold fast. Central Baptist Church, after 90 years of faithfulness, I say to you tonight, by the authority of the Word of God, that you need to hold fast what has been committed to you. Let's stand for an invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you will. What about you? Are you holding fast? Or have you let some things slip? Are you holding fast to the Word of God? Are you holding fast to what's been committed to you? Are you holding fast and then committing it to others? Do you share the heart and vision that your pastor has shared with you tonight about while it's good to look back and see what God has done in the past 90 years, that it's better and more exciting? And that's tomorrow morning. We talk more about that, but as the Lord wills, and we do. But the thing is, are you wanting to see more, to go more, do more, ready for God to bless more? Is this a place that's open and receptive to see, to receive people in, to come and to teach them and to train them the truth that you have held strong to for 90 years? Is it to where you can raise up the next generation? So important that we hold fast. Father, tonight, as we come to you, we thank you for 90 years of holding fast that this church has enjoyed. But Father, we also pray, God, that you continue to work in their hearts and lives, that they would continue to hold fast, and that they would continue to pass it on, that they would continue to seek your face and seek your will and seek out the lost and seek out the unchurched and bring them to a place of understanding, that the Holy Spirit might work in their heart and give them an understanding, that they might turn and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and then be taught and trained in this church the words of hope that we have, the sound doctrine that we have from your word. Father, as you lead this pastor, as he leads his people, Father, that they would hold fast to all that's been deposited here, that each one of us would commit in our hearts anew and afresh, hold fast that which we've received. Father, have your will and way in this invitation. Move in hearts as you would do so, and may we be willing to move as you move us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, its heads are bowed, you're praying. I'll turn this over to Brother Ramirez, but the invitation's open. You come as God leads you.
Man, we're going to close with a word of prayer. Thank you for that message, Brother Puckett. I tell you, it's another challenging message. Really, it was. And let's take it serious. It's not just enjoy it and then go home and forget about it, but let's take it to heart and let's think about it tonight. And let's continue to seek God and thank God, of course, but let's just hold fast to what God has given to us and continue to be faithful. Thank you for coming tonight. Blessing to see each of you out. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we have our Bible class, but we're doing something a little bit different. Be in the gymnasium tomorrow morning with some refreshments. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll have our morning service. The church will still open up at 9 o'clock. If you'd like to come down earlier to have some fellowship and some coffee, it'll still open up tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. But it's good to see everyone out. I hope and pray that we'll have a good day tomorrow. And pray for those that aren't here tonight. Let's pray that they'll make it tomorrow morning. But I'd like to ask Brother Puckett, would you and your wife please head on back? And Brother Houck, would you and your wife please head on back as well? I thank you for that special that you sang this evening. And we're going to close with a word of prayer. Blessing to have them with us tonight. And I'd like to ask Brother Moser, would you please close our service with a word of prayer this evening?